Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. These opening words really struck me as I began to prepare what I was going to say tonight. My friends, as we come towards the end of this journey, this long journey through Psalm 119, I don't know how you feel, but I've been fascinated by how much of this psalm feels so relevant to the world we live in today. Now, I know that we say that a lot about what we read in the Bible and hear preached. That is, of course, how it should be, because I truly believe that this book, the Bible, is living and breathing and is our life manual. However, I think sometimes we can hide behind simple words and sayings such as the above. Not that those words and sayings don't mean what we say, it's just that there are times when I feel that we have to put some meat on the bones of those words and sayings. We can't just say that the Bible is relevant. I believe that we have to show that the Bible is relevant to us today. Because it's not fashionable, is it, in today's world, to say that God's word is true, to say that God's word is dependable for guidance and help. But my aim tonight is to use this stanza of less than 100 words to say that the more meat we can put on the bones of these words, the more able we will be able to trust in God's word, so that we can live as he intended, as shown to us in the Bible, no matter what the world throws at us. Because, my friends, even as we sit here this evening, in countries all over the world, there are those who are being physically persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. They are mocked publicly. They're ridiculed relentlessly. They're harassed without end, physically abused and beaten, and many have given their lives because of their faith in Jesus. Now, for us here tonight, we have those who we feel persecute us, don't we? But let's be honest, it's more of a negative attitude towards our Christianity, to what we believe in, and it's not, in most cases, a physical attack. And my friends, it's very easy for me to stand here tonight and for all of us sitting here in this place and look at these words that we have and not realize, not see, not understand how much power those words have. Because throughout the whole of this series, we've read and heard over and over again the power of the Bible's words. Walk according to the law of the Lord. Live according to your word. Don't neglect God's word. Rejoice in following your statutes. Teach me your principles. I delight in your law. I have put hope in your word. I cling to your principles and obey them. Your laws remain true today. My friends, as we read through this psalm, as we have read through this psalm, almost every verse mentions God's word. And my friends, God's word is the meat on the bones of what we hear preached week in, week out in this place. Because the relevance of God's word has never changed. It will never change. We just have to realize that. And more importantly, act upon it. However, it isn't just enough for me to stand here and say it, is it? And to be frank, it isn't enough for any of us to hear it and not realize how important God's word is, how important it is for each one of us. Now, my message this evening is not an easy message for some to hear, and to be honest, it wasn't an easy message for me to write and prepare, because my message this evening is meant to make each one of us think about who we are. Think about what our faith actually means to us. And in there's a challenge. And my challenge to us all tonight, as we look at what we read and hear, is to react to it. React to the word and then use it. And my friends, also have the courage and the confidence to speak out for Christ. In Acts chapter 5, we read of the apostles being persecuted. The Sadducees had the apostles put in jail, but during the night an angel of the Lord opened the doors and brought them out. "Go stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of new life." At daybreak they entered the temple courts as they have been told and began to teach the people. Now this group of ordinary men had so shaken up the religious establishment that we read they were filled with jealousy. Why were they so filled with jealousy? The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. My friends, these were ordinary men. Men who just a short time before had been so frightened that they had locked themselves in a room, but who were now not afraid to challenge the religious leaders and to speak up for what they believed. And although many people respected the apostles, we are told that they did not join them or work beside them. Why? Because fear of persecution was a real threat, as we have seen from the imprisonment of the apostles. And yet, people believed. So what made, and I believe still makes, Christianity attractive, even with the threat of persecution? Is it because we have good activities going on during the week, which we do? Is it because we have this comfortable, cozy building with great facilities to come along to and sing in and be with people that we mostly like and get along with, which we have and do? Is it because present company accepted, of course, that we have had in the past and have today great pastors and preachers to listen to and to learn from? Well, I would like to suggest that all of the above, except that last bit, are the window dressing on the real meat on the bones, which is God's word and seeing God's power at work. The generosity, sincerity, honesty, and unity of the members and the character of the leaders. And you all know that I have personally seen all of the above through you sitting here tonight, and many of our dear brothers and sisters who are now with their Lord. When faced with persecution, Peter and the other apostles stand up and say, "We must obey God rather than men." That's what their priorities were. And those of you who fed me and guided me knew what your priorities were. And the question for us tonight is, are our priorities still aligned with theirs? Because I truly believe we must not let our standards slip. "Powerful people harass me without cause," the psalmist writes, "but my heart trembles only at your word. I rejoice in your word like one who finds a great treasure." My friends, as we sit here this evening, we must not kid ourselves. There will be times when we will find ourselves in situations which bring us into conflict with the world's view of things. And you only have to pick up a newspaper or listen to the news to see that. And my friends, as hard as it may be, we cannot obey both God and man. There will be times when we are forced to choose. And at that point, what do our actions show? Do we show obedience to the Lord? Do we know, do people see that we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Or do they see our own desire or our own submission to the pressures of this world or those in this world? Now, many of you know that I love sport, all sport really. And I, as many of you know, I've been unwell recently. And one of the side benefits of that is that I've been able to watch a lot of the Cricket World Cup, which has been great. But it saddened me recently when I read of the Australian rugby player Israel Folau's sacking because he stood up for the word of God. Then one of our own, Billy Vunipola, was reprimanded for supporting Israel. In tonight's portion of the psalm, the psalmist is saying to us, submit to God's word. He says to us, we can rejoice in God's word, like one who finds a great treasure. He tells us to hate and abhor all falsehood and to love his law. Now, these two great sportsmen found themselves at odds with what the world would have us believe and what the Bible tells us. Israel Folau stood up for God's word despite the pressure of modern values on him. He knew what God would want him to do and say. And my friends, he had the confidence to speak out and to speak up. Jesus himself in Luke chapter 6 says, blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Peter and John were warned repeatedly not to preach, but they continued to do so despite those threats. My friends, can we sit here tonight? Can I stand here and honestly say the same? Do we live our lives as Jesus has asked us to, sharing our faith no matter what the personal cost? Do our hearts tremble at God's word? And in verse 165, we read, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. When faced with those who mock and ridicule us, do we trust in God's word? Israel Folau does. Peter and John did. Stephen was stoned, and even while they were stoning him, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. My friends, that's our challenge in this world that we live in. We may not be beaten or stoned or thrown in jail, but there are brothers and sisters who are. Open Doors recently published a report, We Are Indians Too, that serves to highlight the scale, the reach, and the debilitating nature of human rights violations against minority communities in India. And this ranges from religion-based violence to random arrests. And one man who has experienced these events firsthand is Vikas, a 30-year-old pastor. He's been arrested more than once simply for praying for healing. He was converted from Hinduism after an encounter with a man from a neighboring village led him to a church. As Vikas began sharing his faith with friends and neighbors, he started facing resistance from local Hindus. He was threatened with physical violence or expulsion from the community. He says, I got a lot of threats, but I never stopped believing. My faith became so strong. And rather than being discouraged, Vikas's faith grew and he eventually became a pastor. But the persecution continued and started to become more severe in 2015. Three policemen interrupted a service where Vikas was praying for the congregation. They accused him of speaking against their gods and illegally converting people to Christianity. But Vikas responded, "Ask the people who are here. I don't force them to become Christians. These are people who need healing, so they come here." On this occasion, the police left because nobody would testify against him. But 3 years later, he wasn't so lucky. One night, he says, "I was conducting a night of prayer. There were about 50 people who came for healing, and I prayed for them. And that's when the police came to arrest him. They arrived using loudspeakers to make Vikas seem dangerous, because loudspeakers were only used by the Indian police when in pursuit of a violent criminal to warn people to be cautious. As we're Indians too, reports random arrests and the banning of peaceful religious activities are increasingly common in India. Violence is significantly more prominent in states that have passed anti-conversion laws than in those that have not, and attackers often accuse their victims of conversion activities. The police officers brought me to the local police station and put me in jail there," Vikas continues. "I was really sad when this happened. But I wasn't discouraged because I kept on praying. I prayed, 'Lord, you didn't allow Paul to stay in prison, so I believe you can release me too. Please don't let my brothers and sisters feel hopeless that I am here.'" My friends, in our psalm tonight, we read, "I will praise you seven times a day because all your laws are just." And when Vikas was praying, he was recalling that passage in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas were imprisoned but kept praying and singing hymns to God. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. So that night, as Vikas were in prison, some of the members of Vikas's church contacted the Open Doors local partners, but they were able to get him out on bail the next morning. The police intended to file a complaint, but in the end, they didn't. And Vikas says, "If Open Doors weren't there for me, they would probably have filed a case against me. No one would have been there to fight for me." My friends, Vikas recalled words from the Bible when he needed them. Those words comforted and sustained him in his hour of need. As we sit here tonight, what are we prepared to do to share the good news of Jesus and the difference that he has made in our own lives? Vikas was threatened and yet still spoke out for Jesus. Israel Folau's contract has been cancelled, and yet he still speaks out and speaks up for what he believes in. My friends, do we have that confidence in our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and even in our families? India, Nepal, North Korea, Nigeria, and many other places known to us are all where our brothers and sisters need our prayers as they too stand up for Jesus. My friends, our section of this psalm, I believe, calls us to action. It calls us to be inspired to love God's word and to use it as we seek to share the good news. Now, right back at the beginning of this series, if you can remember that far back, I said Psalm 119 is an instruction manual. I said it's about the practical use of the word of God in the believer's life. I said that this is a psalm meant to be spoken out loud, to be listened to, and to be acted upon. This is a psalm to be shared with friends and others so that they too can learn of God and his ways. And my friends, that's a practical use of God's word in the life of the believer. Now, over the weeks that we have journeyed through this psalm, I believe that has become more and more apparent. God's word isn't meant just to be read. It's meant to be read and acted upon. It is meant to be shared with others so that they too may know Jesus. It is meant to be much more than just words on a page, because the Bible is completely true and trustworthy. And my friends, that's the meat on the bones, because God's word never changes. The relevance of God's word has never changed. And my friends, it will never change. As we sit here this evening, as we go into the world this week, my friends, I just believe that we have to realize that. We have to realize that and act upon it every single day of our lives. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is so much more than just words on a page. Father, help us to understand your word. Help us to read your word. Help us to act upon your word. Help us to share your word. Help us to be the ones who show your word to others. Father, help us to use your word as a practical guide for our lives. Help us, Lord, to be the people that you want us to be. Help us to be inspired by your word. Help us, help us tonight, Lord, to be the people that you want us to be. Help us to take your word and use it, and for it to be a practical part of our lives. Let's not shy away from your word, Lord, because your word is the meat on the bones. Father, help us this evening as we go from this place, as we go into the world, to understand what and who you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.